KQ4DJW Mobile.
W4DJW, this is KQ4LOO. I heard you on here earlier.
Hello, W4DJW, just headed back out to the airfield. Came home, got some lunch, and going back flying again. What you up to today?
Honestly, I wish I was doing what you're doing, because I got a little Spitfire, RC drone, I mean RC plane, and a drone, and I can fly the crap out of it. I just can't land it so easily, if you know what I mean, the Spitfire.
Part. Getting it off the ground and getting it up in the air, you're safe. It's not till time to come in that you exit the safe space. And all a good landing is a controlled crash. But you'll get better at it. Don't give up. Keep trying. It does get better. Especially the more you fly, the more relaxed you are. The more relaxed you are, the easier it is to land.
Part, I could do all kinds of stuff with it while it's up in the air, but when I try to bring it in, that's when I have trouble.
Well, that's the thing you want to do is when you get it up, don't start thinking about bringing it in for a landing, right? I know that's the first, once it's flying, you want it to be safe again, so you want it to come down on the ground, and that's not what you want to do. You want to stay up there and fly and have fun and get used to it. I don't know if it's electric or gas, but if it's electric, get every tenth of a bolt out of it you can before you bring it back in. And that way you build up your experience. Then if or when it does crash, you've got more experience that way. I know a lot of people just want to take off and get right back on the ground. And that's not what you want to do.
Keep it up as long as I can until I realize that the battery is probably getting ready to start go down. And another thing is I've actually added a camera right in front of the cockpit section of the plane itself. It's got the goggles and stuff, but the first time I tried to fly, it didn't want to fly, so I haven't messed with it since that moment, but I want to get it back out again.
Camera and the goggles makes it a whole lot easier to fly because you don't have to think about left and right, or you don't have to have the reflex built up for the difference between left and right when you're going away and when you're coming at you. When you're flying out of the cockpit, left is always left and right is always right. But when you're standing on the ground, when it's coming at you, it's backwards. When it's going away from you, it's what you're used to. So the goggles do make it a lot easier. Plus, you know, if you get to know the lay of the land, if you fly around close in enough and you get to know the lay of the land, you always know your way home. Instead of if you're flying with your feet on the ground and you get too far away, you can lose orientation of the plane and think you're bringing it back when you're actually flying it further away.
Well, how many tons of videos I've watched where people actually did that and they lost their drone, their multi-thousand dollar drone doing the same thing. I thought it was funny when I saw it on my... But then I realized that they actually spent a lot of money on it, so I'm like, it's really not that funny.
And then the one that I'm coming out with today, but I had to do an upgrade on the transmitter, and I took it all out because you try to do too much at once, you can get in trouble. I took it all out, did the upgrade on the transmitter and the receiver, and now working out all if there's any bugs with it before I put all that stuff back in. But it does kind of make you lazy when you've got video. And a lot of them have a heads-up display on the video, or you can add a heads-up display if you want to. And usually if you have a GPS in it, you set home position before you take off, if you get disoriented, you can just go into a turn from it, remembers the home point, then the arrow will be pointing right at a little house on the heads-up display. And when the arrow is pointing at the house, you just fly forward. And eventually you fly forward long enough, it'll come right over the top of you, and you'll have it back.
That before my brother-in-law passed away, he gifted me an old balsa wood plane with a gas engine, and it needs some repair. I've lost kind of the tail section, and the wing itself needs a redo on the sheeting on it. So you might be the guy I need to speak to about maybe possibly getting it back operational again, and I'm sure I'm going to have to buy another radio for it because the battery's kind of disintegrated inside the radio itself, and it's an old school radio, by the way. But yeah, you might be the guy I need to speak to about this.
Better off replacing the flight pack, the radio and the flight pack. The flight pack consists of the receiver and the servos. Probably better off doing that than trying to recover the old 72 megahertz stuff. It worked, but they tried to put pulse code modulation on it, and they tried to put encryption on it. They tried a lot of things on 72 megahertz. It just didn't work. They crashed a lot. When they went to 2.4 gigahertz and 900 megahertz, everything started working a whole lot better, and there's a whole lot fewer crashes. So instead of trying to recover that old one, the radio and flight pack would be better just to upgrade. And with upgrades nowadays, you can buy just the transmitter, and you can buy 100 different receivers and one receiver per airplane, or even in some of them, they have two receivers on two different bands for redundancy. So if you lose one, the other one picks up and takes over seamlessly. So there's been a lot of improvement since those days. You can recover that airplane, but it's probably going to end up costing you more than it would be to replace it. That's just the nature of the beast.
I at least want to keep the engine and probably the servos. I mean, the servos look like they're in decent condition still, but the engine I know for a fact is in good condition. It's as old as it could be, but I'm probably going to need another body. Like I said, this is a balsa wood body. The tail section is kind of like destroyed a little bit, and the wing itself is it could be redone. But I mean, I got good landing gear on it and everything else. I mean, they tried at the hobby shop. They tried to start it, but mostly they're involved with like RC cars and mostly battery stuff. But this is a gas engine part, so.
Of those gas engines, I took them all off and replaced it all with electric. Gas is pretty cool. I mean, there's nothing like flying a nitro engine, right, and smelling that nitro. There's nothing like it. But at the end of the day, you got a lot of cleanup to do because there's castor oil running all down the side of the plane, and it gets under the wing saddle and inside and under the balsa wood, and the balsa wood gets soaked with oil, and the thing starts getting heavy. There's just a lot of drawbacks to that. I still have a few of the engines, but I got rid of most of them. Because at the end of the day, when you're flying electric, you just put it in your vehicle and go home. There's no roll of paper towels and bottle of Windex and cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and still not getting it all cleaned up. But still, I mean, there's still a lot of people that fly nitro, right? Alcohol, castor oil, and nitromethane. There's still a lot of people that do that. And it's still a lot of fun. It's just a little bit more work to it.
The main thing I'm looking at is sentimental value on this because it's my brother-in-law. I mean, we were really, really, really good friends. He was a lifelong friend. I actually introduced him to my sister, and he just decided he's going to gift it to me one day. And I'd rather keep the whole thing if I could. I just need it repaired. Do you know anybody that can help me with that?
Yeah, do it. I mean, if you want to do it just for sentimental value, yeah, you can restore it completely. It'd take your time. You know, take all the old sheeting off and covering and, you know, inspect it for oil damage. And you can put baking soda on it, mixtures of alcohol and baking soda to suck the oil out of the wood. So there are ways to do it if you want to do it. I got most of it online learning how to do it over the years from other modelers. But most of that stuff you can get, like if you look up videos on rebuilding old balsa wood airplanes, you probably get more out of that, and it'll be at your convenience. But I can help you, too, if you wanted to. They're different. And then the engines, they do take a little bit to, I mean, each one's a little temperamental. You got to really know how to tune the carburetors on them. Do you know the make of the engine and what the airframe is? Like, is it a Telemaster or a J3 Cub or a World War II Warbird or what kind of airframe it is?
If I would classify as anything, it would be some kind of Cessna model. It's got like a 4-foot wingspan on it and a decent
size motor. I'm not sure the motor, but
the name of it, it's like either an Enya or an OS Max, or there's a whole bunch of them. YS, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of engines. But knowing that will help, and then seeing if you can get parts for it will help too. Like, cleaning the carburetor can't be successful, but it's a whole lot easier just to replace it, right, if you can find one. So stuff like that.
At the hobby shop, got the motor to start, said it was pretty powerful, and it ran for until they ran the gas out of it, and they said it was actually worked pretty well. So it wasn't the carburetor issue, it's more like body issue, like the tail, tail section needs to be replaced, and the resheeting of the wing itself. That's the main issues I have right now.
The kind of plane it is, and get the drawings for it. You can, like, if you want to replace the whole tail section, you can get the ribs. If it's got rib, if it's a built-up tail, then it'll have ribs and spars, and you can actually just rebuild it right off of the design if you can find the blueprint. Because most of those came with a blueprint, and you pinned it to your workbench, and you laid your balsa wood spars and ribs on top of the blueprint. And you glued them all together right there with a piece of wax paper between the balsa and the blueprint. And then you peeled the wax paper off and sanded it down. And that's, and you, so if you could get the, if you could find the design somewhere for that one, it would be, it would make it easy to rebuild it. Easier. You can do it without it, but it'd just make it easier.
Ask where you're located.
About 2 miles north of Greer. If you draw a line through Lake Cunningham horizontal, and you draw a line through Lake Robinson vertical, where they intersect is where I live.
You said you're near Lake Robinson?
Yes, just south of it, about a mile south of Lake Robinson.
My fishing spots I like to go to.
Time and look at it. I am at the airfield now. I got to get out and unlock the gate, but just let me know when you're available. I'm good on QRZ. If you look up my call sign, W4DJW, you can send me an email and we can make plans that way.
All right, W4DJW, correct?
Yes.
So I can write this down. Say I can find your email at. A little bit, yes. 4DJW, KQ4LOO.
Email up on QRZ.com. Go back, RomeoZulu.com. And this is N0TR Mobile.
N0TR, say that one more time, please.
QRZ.com, www.QRZ.com. And then just up in the search box on the left top, put in W4DJW. And my name's Tom.
Spoken to you a few times there, Tom. How are you doing, buddy?
We're just going out for a Hamburglar, and I heard Dave talking to you. He's out opening the gate, I think, on a handy talkie. He was very, very weak.
He said he was using the same one that I was using up until this point. Now that I've actually got an upgrade, we put it that way, it's definitely an upgrade.
Yeah, you can search for anybody's call sign on there, and it's, let me turn this radio down. It's a free website, and you can look it up. You can look up N0TR, that's my call, and you'll see me sitting there in a picture. And you might have to click on details. But on Dave, you can just type in the search window on that page, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Sometimes you got to have your mouse over the little thing over to the left, but you'll find it. It's really easy.
W4DJW, hopping out.
7-0-2-0.
Talk to you, Dave. Well, and Tom, I appreciate you chiming in and helping me
out with that info.
I think I doubled. Would you say that again?
Talking to you, Dave, and you too, Tom. This is KQ4LOO, and I'll be on standby.
All right, we'll catch you later. Send me an email, and we'll figure out something. KQ4LOO, W4DJW, and N02R, W4DJW, clear.
Clear.